We come to the second session of the morning. Can we turn, open your Bible to page 67 on this line of preaching the gospel. By today, this is the last message that we have put together for this session. And tomorrow we'll have some specific burden concerning our experience on the campus. But today, in a way, we like to conclude this series in a way. So let us read this title together. I'm preaching the gospel on this message four. Okay? But let's read the title together. Cool. How about let's read it again? Coordinating with the saints in the
church.
Right. In order for us to preach the gospel, well, on the one hand, we need to have the burden to go out and preach the gospel. However, this message would like to you all, we'd like to bring you all to a point to see the purpose of our preaching the gospel. It's actually, it is for the building up of the church, right? So later, I'd just like to read a portion from this book, Preaching the Gospel on the College Campuses, okay? And Brother Lee, in chapter 1, actually right in the very first paragraph, he said, when the young people go to the campuses, they need the backing of the older and middle-aged saints. When saints of all ages stand together in an excellent coordination, we will have effective and fruitful work of preaching the gospel on the campuses. What is that? It says, stand together in an excellent coordination. On the one hand, praise the Lord that God put us on the college campuses, but also we need to realize that the older saints, we need the backing of the older saints and the middle-aged saints. Because together with the older one, the middle-aged one, and the younger one, us, together we compose of the church, which is what God really wants to gain on this earth, right? So if you look at the outline here in Romans 1 says, the purpose of our labor on the campus is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. I just like to read you a verse in Haggai 1:5. It says, go up to, well, this is the word given by Jehovah in the Old Testament. At that time, well, they have to build the physical temple of God, right? In order to do that, right, Jehovah says, go up to the mountain and bring wood. And build a house, and I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, says Jehovah. In order for them to build the temple of God physically, they need to go up to the mountain and gather material, right? This gathering of the material applied in the New Testament refers to our preaching of the gospel. Therefore, the same way how the children of Israel went up to the mountain, they don't just collect wood to display. They don't just collect wood for their own house, but all these woods are materials for the building up of the physical temple of God. In the same way, today as we preach the gospel, we need to have the view, Lord, these people that we're gaining is not for ourselves. These people that we're preaching to has to be for the building up of the house of God. They have to be the material that fits into the house of God, right? Actually, the matter of the building up of the house, it is revealed in Matthew 16:15, which the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. This is one of the greatest prophecies in the world, in the Bible that is still being fulfilled. He said it, and he will fulfill it. He will build his church. And then later on it says, the gate of Hades shall not prevail against it. Young people, did you realize? Well, by ourselves, individually, we may be defeated by the devil. But when we are in the church, when we are in the church life, the gate of Hades shall not prevail against us. Because it cannot defeat the build a church. So therefore, it depends on us as young people. Are we building into the church, or we're fighting as an individual on the campus, right? I just like to give you an example. You know, when I was, many years ago, I was also in this college training. And after that, I was so burdened, you know, for my campus. I was on a campus called Simon Fraser University. And there's no full-timers. So I was very burdened. But when I go back, I fellowship with an elder there in my locality. And that fellowship, to this day, I appreciate very much. You know, he said, Peter, no matter how burdened you are for the campus, you have to realize you are on the campus as a member of the body of Christ. This means you get the supply from the church. You get the covering from the church. And you get the protection from the church. You're not just out there by yourself, but you have to realize you are part of the whole church. No matter what happened, you can gain all the fellowship and all the flowing of life from the church life. On the one hand, you bring all your burden back to the church life so that we all can pray for you, so that we all can stand for you. Right? Before I proceed, I just like to read, how about let's read point eight? Okay. God's eternal purpose
is to have the church. We have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view.
Okay. Right. We have, right? Highlight the word, with the building up of the church in view. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, this is related to Paul. He said, I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God which has given according to the operation of his power, right? He's talking about why he has received this gift so that he can announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. But it's very interesting at the in verse 10, it says, in order that now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. In other words, his ministering, the unsearchable riches of Christ, is only for one purpose. Is that the multifarious wisdom of God may be known through the church. The church has to be built up. The church is there to manifest, to express the multifarious wisdom of God. Saints, and no matter what we do, we just like to impress you. Everything that we do has to be with the building up of the church in view, right? Okay, how about let's have the brothers, let's read B together. We regularly
attend and function in the meetings of the church. The meetings of the church include the Lord's table meeting, the prayer meeting, and the prophesying meeting.
Okay, I would like you to highlight two words, regularly attend and function. Okay, this point brings us into something very practical. What do you mean by building up the church? Right? Practically is that we attend the church meeting. Practically is that we function in the church meeting. Well, three meetings here is mentioned. For the sake of some of the new one here, first, the Lord's table meeting. Second, the prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they continue steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. This is the content of their meeting. And then it says they continue in breaking of the bread and also in prayer. So these refers to the two major meetings in the church site. That's the first, bread breaking meeting. Second, the prayer meeting. Right? And then also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about that we all can prophesy one by one, right? Each one has a portion that we can function in the meeting, we can share, we can overflow, we can prophesy one by one, right? So for some of the new ones, these are, and I just like to impress you, especially, you know, these three meetings, the Lord's table meeting, bread breaking meeting, and the prayer meeting is especially important because they are the meeting for God's interest. At the Lord's table meeting, we remember what the Lord has done for us. Every week, we enjoy Him, we remember Him in the bread breaking meeting. And every week too, we're in the prayer meeting to join the move of God on this earth. As we pray, the Lord has the way to move on this earth, right? And, well, prophesy meeting for a lot of the church, like it's after the table meeting, or some are in the morning, and you have the Lord's table meeting in the evening. Prophesy, build up the church. Practically, when you stand up, when you say something, when you prophesy the word of God, something takes place. The building up of the church, right? And, well, I just like to ask you all, raise your hand if for the last 6 months you have attended most of the Lord's table meeting, bread breaking meeting. Okay. Most of you. Keep your hand up if you function in those meetings, meaning you pray, you declare, you usher, or you play piano. Okay. So still a good number. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, raise your hand if you attend at least in the last 6 months, at least half of the prayer meeting of the church. Good. Still. Only the students. Okay. How many of you? Okay, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. This is only attending, okay? How many of you pray on a regular basis in those prayer meetings you go to? Okay, good. There's still a good number. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, this is the way, you know, we are practically into the church life. Is that we actually not only were there, but we also function. Did you realize that you all, that we all have a portion? The saints are looking for that portion in the church life, right? Today, later on we'll emphasize, of course, the homes are very crucial. But I just like to impress you, this matter of the meetings, Lord's Day table meeting, prophesy meeting, and prayer meeting. These are very crucial in terms of building up of the church in a very practical way, right? Right now, we'd like to have two students to give us their testimonies. Maybe Benjamin, you want to come up, and then Claire, you can follow.
Hello, everyone. My name is Benjamin. I will be entering into my third year, my junior year at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. However, my name tag says Calgary because since last September, I did an internship in the city of Calgary, and it will conclude this upcoming September. So I just wanted to share with you regarding my experience in the meetings, and I hope you benefit from it. Okay. So as you can tell, I had a small location change last September due to the internship, and looking back, it was a real blessing from the Lord. Under the Lord's sovereign arrangements, I got to stay with an older couple, and then because of them, I got really ushered into the church services and the church meetings, right? Looking back at my first 2 years, specifically my first 2 years, I really enjoyed the home meetings. You know, in a sense, it was really good. There was a lot of love. There was a lot of free food. It was very enjoyable. It was very lovely. It was very nourishing, right? But then on the services side and on the meeting side, it wasn't so much, right? I would attend the prayer meeting once in a while. Will serve here and there, but then it was more on the, I want to receive, I want to enjoy the Lord, right? But then after I went to Calgary, I was sort of got categorized into the working saints area. So then, as a result, they wanted me to help with a bit of the service, right? And then initially, you know, serving here, serving the YP here, serving some of the house cleaning stuff with the meeting hall, you know, in the beginning, it seemed sort of mundane to me, right? But then after this brother had, because I was staying in his brother's house, so we usually have a weekly meeting, right? So then one of those weekly meetings, I brought it up with him saying, oh, you know, I've never done this before, and, you know, it just seems a little trivial, a little mundane. And he shared with me regarding some of the experiences in the past, and then he encouraged me to, you know, continue, and then eventually something will come forth, right? So I just want to share with you regarding a few specific scenarios of the experience I had in the past, okay? So for the prayer meetings, praise the Lord for the prayer meetings. You know, I don't know how to say this, but every single time that I go to a prayer meeting nowadays, and when I release my spirit with these saints, outwardly, they're in their mid-40s, late 50s, you know, they're older, they're more mature, they have weights, and I'm just little brother saying, hello, hello, right? Uttering little words, stuttering here and there. But when we pray together and when we pray for certain matters that are on the Lord's heart, you know, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter how well you can compose your prayer, it doesn't matter how old you are, but rather the Spirit just carries you through, right? Yeah. And sometimes the matters that we're praying for, you know, I can't even really see it, right? For example, we were praying for Brother Andrew Yu's recovery in Korea. And then, you know, I've heard him speak before, and he's a wonderful brother, but when the brother brought this up, it seems that the Spirit within me just had an ushering saying, you need to pray for this brother, right? You benefited so much from him, and now the church is praying for him. You need to join yourselves to that prayer. So that was an example, praying for Brother Andrew Yu. It was really, really sweet, right? And another example was that there was, I'm not sure how many of you heard about this, but there was a political unrest in Ukraine, and there was a little bit of situation there along with the saints, right? So then that was brought up, and then we started praying for that, right? We're in Calgary, Canada, north of Montana, and then we're praying for somewhere in Europe where we have no idea where it is. We have never been there before. We don't know the saints there, but somehow this matter spread over here, and then it caught on our heart, and we started praying for it, right? And then it was really good because during the training, I met a few brothers from the Ukraine, and we told them, and they were just, you know, they were just so happy, right? Somewhere, some saints across the planet whom they did not know were praying for them within the body. So that shows you, right, that the prayer meeting is really, really beneficial, right? And another thing I want to bring out with you is that, you know, during the home meetings, it's so good, right? You enjoy the supply, you get the food, you're nourished, soul, spirit, and body. But then, in terms of the supply, I would say that when you enter into the church services, when you enter into the prayer meetings, that supply deepens, right? Because when you're at the home meetings, you're getting nourished, you're getting supplied. But the supply that is for you is not so much for the building specifically, right? But then when you're attending the prayer meetings, you are touching something that is directly on God's heart. So as a result, the supply is much more bountiful, right? And even more, being joined with the saints and being in the one flow, praise the Lord, right? Sometimes I come out of the prayer meeting and you know, I had a bad day at work. I come to the prayer meeting, I feel like I'm in the third heaven, right? Maybe praying about something that I have no idea how it concerns me, but nonetheless, pray for it, praise the Lord, right? And another aspect I wanted to bring this out was regarding the services in the church, okay? It was really funny because I never really liked cleaning washrooms, and I'm sure most of you here will agree with me, but one time after one of the YP conferences in a locality, some of the brothers asked, oh, who can volunteer for some of the house cleaning services in the meeting hall, right? And then the brother I was staying with said, come on, let's go. So, you know, I was living under his house, so kind of hard to say no. So I said, sure, why not, right? So then we started cleaning the washroom a little bit. And let me testify to you, I have never been so happy in my life before, right? I thought that cleaning the washroom meant, you know, you take a brush, take a towel, and go clean the washroom, right? It's simple. But then he showed me that in order to clean the meeting hall, in order to do anything related to the maintenance of the meeting hall, we first have to pray ourselves into our spirit, right? So we spent about a good half an hour calling and singing and praying before we even touched any of the tools, right? So then by then, I was, you know, fully released, fully enjoying, right? And then even as we were cleaning the toilets, the water was flowing, so we were singing all the songs related to water. Oh, and it was, you know, on the one hand, it was a bit ironic, but on the other hand, it was so enjoyable, right? The services of the church is not meant to just maintain it, but rather it is for the building up, right? Amen. We're not building up a physical church, but then through these services, we get built together and we get ushered into our spirit. Amen. So saints, I want to encourage you, the home meetings are great. Stay in the home meetings. Continue to go to home meetings. But even more, engage yourself with the services of the church. Amen. Attend the meetings. If you want the enjoyment, if you want the uttermost enjoyment, those are the places where you can get them at, right? Amen. So that's my testimony. Amen.
My name is Claire, and I'm from Coquitlam, Canada. I'm entering into my third year at UBC. So Coquitlam, a few years ago, it was actually a GTCA city. And so we started off as a small locality with around only 50 saints. But I need to testify that this was a blessing to me. It really required and it was needed of me and other college students to enter into the church life, but not only to attend all of the church meetings, but to function. Amen. And it's through this that really caused us to enter and to be firmly rooted in the church life. So Coquitlam is not where I go to school. I go to school in UBC. So it takes me around 3 to 4 hours on the road to and from school. And I spend most of my day at school, So it seems like I don't really have that much time for the meetings. But my prayer before going to college is that he would keep me in the church life.
Amen.
And through this prayer, the Lord has really allotted me the grace, though I'm busy at school and I'm tired. But Lord, on the Friday nights, Saturday nights, Tuesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, I'm in the meeting.
Amen.
On a perfect week, which is not every week, I'm still learning. But on Tuesdays, I'm in the prayer meeting.
Amen.
I'm learning to fight corporately with the saints for the building of the body.
Amen.
On Friday nights, I'm in the home meetings. I'm learning to nourish and cherish the saints, the new ones. And this is also for the building up of the Lord's body.
Amen.
On Saturday nights, I'm serving the young people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the young people.
Amen.
We need to have a view that we need to get them to the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
And this is also for the building.
Amen.
Lord's table meetings and prophesying meetings is for sure for the building.
Amen.
But many times, I may just be sitting there, but we need to function.
Amen.
In the prophesying meetings, we need to prophesy.
Amen.
When I prophesy, I can testify by faith that I am building up the church.
Amen.
But we shouldn't separate what we do on the campuses from our church life.
Amen.
So on the campus, I am learning to coordinate with the students, attending the Bible studies, spending time with the sisters. But we need to see that this is for the building.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "Let all things be done for building up."
Amen.
So because I am builded and rooted in the church life, when I'm on campus, I feel like I have the whole church behind me.
Amen.
They are strengthening, they are supplying, and I can go to them for fellowship.
Amen.
So a small example is in the home meetings, because I'm builded up with the saints and I know them. And being away for 2 weeks, I miss them so dearly. But because I'm builded up with them, I could bring the new ones that are under my care. It gives me a possibility to bring these ones into the church life. So I think in my first and second year, I felt like we just need to gain fruit. So SFU is a smaller campus, and UBC is a bigger one. So it's like we need to gain as much fruit as we can. But these two campuses, we shouldn't be competing. We are gaining fruit for the body.
Amen.
So we shouldn't just keep our fruit on the campuses. We need to bring them into the church life.
Amen.
But if we aren't ones who have fully entered into the church life, how can we expect the new ones that we have taken care of in the campus to also be in the church life? So I just encourage you all, and I am still learning to function, to not only attend, but function in the meeting. So that there is a possibility that the new ones on our campus could be for the Lord's building.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Well, yeah, so I guess I just like to say that distance doesn't matter. It's where the burden is. I feel like I can testify for all those in the Lower Mainland area, because every time when I see them in the meeting, I'm deeply nourished, because I know at least they commute 30 minutes one way. And after the meeting, at least that's another 30 minutes going back. And I really appreciate, I believe for a lot of us, that this might not be your situation, where going to the meeting might be much closer. So I just like to encourage you, saints, we need to pay the price to attend the church meeting, because God's desire is for the building up of his body, practically through the local churches, right? How about let's continue? That's actually another point I just like to bring out. Let's read point C all together. We should bring a burden for the student
in order to stir up the whole church
to pray for what we are doing.
When the church picks up this burden, the church will be behind us and will be absolutely one with us in our burden.
Right. Well, this is something I think Claire kind of brings this out. This is especially crucial that we will bring a burden for the student to the church so that they will know what's happening on the campus. And the reference reading here is Acts 12:5. How about let's all turn to that verse. I was just reading it this morning. I'm just impressed with how much the prayer can do. It's amazing, this story, okay? From verse 5, okay, all the way to verse 12. Okay. How about let's all read verse 5. Okay. So Peter was kept
in the prison, but prayer was being made fervently by the church to God concerning him.
Right, Peter now is kept in the prison, but at the same time, the church is praying firmly, right, for him. All right, okay, how about let's all have all the sisters you read verse 6.
And when Herod was about to bring him forward, that night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison.
Right, while the church is praying, at the same time, Peter was there, bound with two chains, guard before the door, and keeping the prison. Oh, brothers, 7. Look at what happened. And behold,
the angel of the Lord stood by him, and the
light shined
in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and aroused him, saying,
"Rise up quickly."
And his chains fell off his hands.
His chains fall off his hand. Peter doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know the church is praying. But all of a sudden, the chain fall off his hand. Okay, now, sisters. 8. Alright, follow me, our brothers, verse 9.
And he went out and followed him, and he did not know that what was taking place, that the angel was real, but he thought like
he was seeing a vision. Right, he doesn't really know what's happening, right? Okay, now, together, let's read verse 10. This is the best verse, I feel. And passing the first guard and the second, they came to the iron ring and leaked into the city, which opened of itself to them. And going out, he went out to them. And immediately, wow. The door opened automatically. Well, the first automatic door is recorded here in the Acts. It just opened for him, right? Then, verse 11, let's read together. And Peter came to him.
Now I know truly that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me out of Herod's hand and from all the expectations of the Jewish people.
Now he came to himself. He realized what just happened. And then in verse 12, I'll read it to you. And when he came the word of this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark, where there was a considerable number assembled together and prayed. A considerable number assembled together and prayed. Things, there is some things. Well, I don't know how many, but this is a considerable number. Maybe in your church life, they need you to make that a considerable number. They need your portion to pray for the church, and that even that, when you bring the burden into the church life, then the whole church, a considerable number, is praying there, fighting there, to stand together with you when you're there on the campus. Right, right now we have another testimony. Right?
My name is Isaac. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. And God needs our prayers for him to move. And without our prayers, he cannot move. And when we enter into the prayer meeting of the church, we enter into the burden of the entire church. And I'd like to just share my personal testimony. I went to my first prayer meeting when I was in my last year of high school. And I started attending the prayer meeting regularly in my first year at UBC, because I was spending a lot of time with an older brother. We were studying together every day, and then he would go to the prayer meetings, so I would go to the prayer meetings. And the Lord covered me in saying this, but since then, I haven't missed more than maybe 2 or 3 prayer meetings, because we realize that when we come to the prayer meetings, we enter into what is on God's heart. And as a student on the campus, we are those who can bridge the burden for the campus to the church. There is a big difference when the full-timers, like Peter, share a burden in the prayer meeting compared to a student who is on the campus who expresses a burden to the church. Our being in the prayer meeting in itself will be a big encouragement to the saints. But when we when we open ourselves and say, saints, we need your prayers, I think they will have that attitude as in Acts 12:5. They will pray fervently for us who are on the campus. And, you know, at the prayer meeting, you know, at the beginning of every school year, we have, you know, welcome dinners or freshman connect. And we just come to the prayer meetings and we just open to the saints and say, saints, we have a burden that the Lord would give us some new ones, that the Lord would give us some remaining fruit, some material for God's building. And they pray for us. And just, you know, I'm going into my last year of school, and these past years I have a testimony that really I am there as a member of the body of Christ, because the saints' prayers supply us and they cover us in everything that we do. And I was appreciating, you know, when the angel woke up Peter, he didn't know what was going on. And as students on the campus, sometimes we're going around and we're not quite sure what we're doing and what's going on. But the saints' prayers keep us. And the prayer and the prayers are the way that the Lord is able to move on our campuses. So I would strongly encourage those, whether in your last year of school or you're going into your first year of school, enter into the prayer meeting of the church. And you will really, like Benjamin was saying, you will have a deeper supply. You will enter into the burden of the church, and you will sense that I am a member of the body of Christ.
Amen. Wow, it was awesome. You got the testimonies?
Amen.
Man, all right, get ready for some more. But before we have some others come up to share, we're going to move on now to the burden of the homes. I just want to step back and look at this whole line that we've been going through, all right? We started, do you remember what the first message was on this line? Yeah, I'm just going to put gospel. It's just having a burden for the gospel, all right? Having a burden for the gospel. And what is the goal of our preaching the gospel? What's the goal? Yeah, that's right. Say it louder. To build up the church. That's what we just heard, right? Just like it says in Roman number 1, the purpose of our labor on the campus is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. All right? Now, in order to make it from just preaching the gospel all the way to building the church, there are 3 basic items and 1 additional help that we need. And I'm going to write a bunch of items up here just to make a point. There's a lot of things that we can use to help people get saved and help bring them into the church. There's a lot of some more important than others. For instance, one item could be tracts, right? On your campus, you can have some, maybe you even write your own tract, and you can distribute it on your campus, right? That could help people be saved. All right, many of us, there's a number of us at our campus, and we have a campus club. All right, that could be another thing that could be helpful. All right, we talked on, there's also, of course, the Spirit. All right, you think the Spirit's important? What about full-timers? Some campuses have them. Full-timers can be a help, hopefully. All right. What we'll touch this morning, there's homes. Another one that we've covered, the Word. Another one, I'm going to put organization. All right. Some campuses are, they have a well-oiled machine, very organized. Some places have great advertising. They put up posters, signs. Some people, when they're on campus, they're trying to get people to get saved, help them know the Lord. They have dynamic speakers. So, and of course, another item that we've covered is prayer. All right? Now, of these items, there's really what the Bible shows us is that there's really only three basic items that we need to preach the gospel and to build up the church. There's only three, plus one additional help. All right? Plus one additional help. All the other things, you can have them. It's nice if you do, but they're not necessary. Only three are basic. All right? And what are the three basic items that we can sacrifice everything else, but we cannot sacrifice these three things? What are the three? The Spirit, the Word, and prayer. Now let's turn in our Bible to Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31, and let's read this verse strongly all together. Ready? Ready, go. And when they had so besought, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. All right, you see the three things? This is the way it is in the Bible. What's the first thing in this verse? Prayer. What word shows us prayer? Besought, that word prayer, it's an old word for prayer. All right? It's the past tense of beseech. All right? And then secondly, you have, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then third, they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you can see these three things: prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. Now there's one additional help that we actually need, and that's in the Bible for gaining people, not just to be saved, but to bring them into the church life. And what's that last item? That's right. It's the homes. All right? So maybe you don't have full-timers. Maybe you don't even have a club. Maybe you don't even have gospel tracts. Maybe you're not well organized. If you spend all your time being organized, organizing events, but neglect prayer, the Spirit, and the Word, then you know what? Not going to be effective. And it's not going to build up the church. Okay, so let's go to the outline. It says, we need to connect the new ones to the homes of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life. So, yes, you're on campus, you're preaching the gospel. There is a stepping stone for new ones to make it into the church. And what's the stepping stone? It's the homes. All right, the book of Acts, A, records that the early saints had the church life where? In their homes. And the apostles preached the gospel in large stadiums. Right? Well, sometimes they did. But what's emphasized here is they actually preached the gospel from house to house. They preached the gospel from house to house. Now, let's look up some verses. I think it's important just to see this from the Word. How about you four brothers here? Look up Acts 2, 46-47. Front row here. Acts 5, 42. Then how about second row, brothers, Acts 20:20-21. All right, how about you stand up and read it? Acts 2:46-47. Read aloud with your spirit. Yes.
And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house.
Breaking bread what?
From house to house.
All right, keep going.
They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart.
Amen.
Praising God and having grace with all the people.
Amen.
And the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved.
Amen. Okay. So you see, there's two phrases. There's day by day and house to house. Day by day and house to house. Thank you, brothers. All right, next verse, Acts 5:42. All right, brothers, stand up. Release your spirit. And the rest of us need to say amen.
Amen. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and announcing the gospel of Jesus as the Christ.
Amen. That's good. How often?
Every day,
every day, in the temple and from house to house. All right, and then lastly, Acts 20:20-21.
and do not withhold any of those things that are profitable when we are not declaring them to you, and we are not teaching you publicly and house to house, solemnly testifying both to Jews and to Greeks, repentance unto God and faith in our Lord Jesus.
Amen. Good, very good. So, again, you have the apostles there. They weren't just in the stadiums, but they would visit and teach house to house. All right, B, we need many homes of the saints for the sake of coordination in the gospel work. Some college students need homes to which they can bring their friends. No, right? It says every college student needs a home to which he or she... Using our homes for the gospel has many advantages. See the advantages? One, the homes are the place where God's activity is carried out. There's too many times when the Lord, he visited people in their homes. The apostles visited people in their homes. Again and again in the Bible, you see, that's the place where God's activity is carried out. Number two, human beings need a society. The sweetest and most restful place is where? The home. Point three, there are many lonely and homesick college freshmen. And we must take this opportunity to fill up the gap in their hearts with Christ by opening our homes. So we have some testimonies. And call up Kenny and Jaime. All right? You both can come up. You can stand together.
My name is Kenny. I'm going to my last year at CSUN, located in Los Angeles. To give a little backstory, I grew up a Buddhist for most of my life. Became agnostic in high school. And just one day in my senior year, I woke up randomly, and I just wept. I started thinking about the universe, and I said, there has to be more than just this, and there has to be a creator of this beautiful universe. And so I started seeking, and I started going to different churches and trying to find my place, but I never really did until my freshman year. I had to do a class project with a brother, and we end up going up north, like 30-minute drive, and I never met him before, but I ended up confessing all my family problems, my life story, and by the time I got home, I was like, why did I confess these things to this stranger that I don't know? And he just asked me if I was seeking, and I said yes, but I still didn't want to seek the Lord in that moment because I had all these family issues. But I ended up changing my major. We ended up having class again together the next year, and we just started getting connected. I started reading the Bible. And I guess the day I got saved was at a home meeting. I went to go play basketball with him and another brother because he played college ball, so I want to see how good I am. But they just invited me out of the blue to say, come, have some food, meet some of the saints. And once we got to the home meeting, I'm kind of shy, so like I want to stick with the brothers that I knew, but they left me. They left me to go speak to others, so I had to kind of get out of my shell and just meet some new ones. So towards the singing time, at first I didn't understand like a lot of the words because, you know, I grew up a Buddhist. I didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. I didn't even know he was a man. So at first I was just mumbling the words. I was trying to say the words, but I didn't like feel anything. But towards the end, I think one of the words was Christ as the river, and I started to experience this as a river, and I started to see the saints. It just blew my concept of seeing so many ones speak. I was so used to having one person speak and then me receiving not that much. It would just go in one ear, out the other. But to see that so many were speaking, just ones that were my age, having this portion of Christ in them, was just amazing. And I remember just every day, I remember that day, I just remember being very bright, just seeing God's life and God's light in that room. You know, every time I think about it, I just sweat, because I just remember being so hot, and just the Lord's life was just getting into me. And at the end, I just ended up like just singing, declaring the words that I'd never heard and never understood. And on the way home, I got lost. Thank the Lord I got lost, because I ended up praying to the Lord just to keep me in this environment, to keep me in the homes, and to even show me the river that He is. And I ended up going home, just going on Facebook, going on MySpace. It was still relevant at that time. I ended up going on my messengers, on my AIM, my Yahoo, my MSN, and I just, whoever was online, I just told them, I just found Christ today. I found Him in the homes. You know, this Christ is real, you know, and He's living in me. Oh, He's a river.
Amen.
My name is Jaime, and actually I'm originally from Northern California, but I go to school in Los Angeles at Cal State Northridge. And how I came to meet the brothers, well, first off, I was one of those, I was out of high school, and, I was excited, to leave my home, go to L.A., like where I've always wanted to go to school, leave my parents, be on my own. And then, the time came to where it came closer to, that I was going to, move down to L.A. And, it was just terrifying, just thinking, I'm going to be lonely, homesick. And it was the night before my first classes. I've grown up a Christian my whole life, but I prayed to the Lord that, that my first day, I find companions that, and I wanted to continue pursuing Him, because I've heard a lot that when people go to college, Christians, they lose sight, of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I prayed to the Lord that night, find me companions, and those to pursue the Lord with. And it was my first day of classes. I actually wake up late, and I'm already running late to my very first day of classes, my very first class. And I'm on my skateboard, headed to my class as fast as I can. And then I see this brother. He's passing out some gospel tracts. Well, I didn't know at the time, but he was passing something out. But at that time, I was just so open, because I wanted to just join everything, just so I could meet people, so I wouldn't be lonely, so I could have companions. And I just stopped, and he handed me the paper, which was a tract, and he asked me, if I was pursuing the Lord, and I told him yes, and that I've been a Christian my whole life. And then exchanged contacts, and then it was that first week that I went to my first home meeting. And one of the things that struck me that really just changed my concepts was the nurturing. There's just so much nurturing in the church life. You have these families who open up their homes, and they just open up their homes to just so many people, and they become spiritual fathers and mothers to, all these young ones, and just all people of all ages. And not only that, but you also gain many brothers and sisters. And to me, that was one of the things that struck me the most. Just how inviting it was, like, just coming into the home, like, not even talking to anyone. I could feel that, this was just an inviting and warm environment, and I really felt the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And just how Abraham in Genesis, when he felt the presence of the Lord, he knew he was where he was supposed to be. And before even, talking to anyone, I knew I was supposed to be there.
Amen.
And another thing that struck me was my brother here, Kenny, was saying, was the prophesying. Everyone having a portion. I was always used to just one person, speaking the word of the Lord, and going one ear, coming out the other. And it was just so, I don't know, it was just so encouraging just seeing all these people, you know, people my age, you know, older ones, they all had a portion and they were just real patterns. And I just felt like, wow, you know, I want to do that. You know, I want to be able to give a portion, you know, of the Lord. You know, I want to be able to dispense. And my experience with that, with prophesying, it takes a while. You have to, you know, attend a few meetings and, you know, and obviously you have to pray that the Lord gives you the strength to speak. But I found out, realized just anything that you do, you just kind of have to go for it. It may be sloppy at first and, you know, whether it's, you know, learning to play a new instrument or learning to drive stick, you know, it's going to be sloppy at first, but you need practice. And in the homes, you know, you really do get practice. You get practice and to be able to dispense, you know, the Lord to others. And that to me was just something really special about the meetings. And then I'd have to say one of the things that struck me the most was just everyone exercising their spirit and the singing. Amen. The singing really struck me. Just the fact that everyone was singing and just so joyful. And, you know, even me, you know, I didn't know the words to the hymns, but, you know, I tried my best. And, you know, even so, I was, you know, singing along, at least trying. But, you know, I felt just this joy. And for me, I'm a music major. So, you know, music, I breathe and live music. It's my life. And, you know, just that. And that's how the Lord entered my life, through music. And that's why it was so special to me, just seeing all these people just exercising their spirit. And just wanted to tell you, saints, that it's so true what they say about that first week of college in a freshman's life. They're just so open, and they need that nurturing. They need someone, you know, to be their companion, you know, to dispense Christ into them, to really be their nourishment. And just praise the Lord, you know, that, you know, even before I started college, that, you know, I felt the Lord's nurturing hand, and, you know, I was able to come into contact with the brothers.
Are you convinced? You got to get people to the homes. All right, we have another testimony, so I'm just going to quickly read through these points. Point D, saints of all ages in each locality can participate and coordinate together for the gospel work on the college campuses. One, we need the younger saints to go to the campuses, the older saints to open their homes, and the middle-aged saints serving the new ones in the living rooms. If the saints in every locality are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see, right? These brothers were inspired when they came to the homes, right? They will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. Three, our service in coordination will touch, soften, and warm up their hearts to receive the living, piercing word, right? Surely these brothers, they got warmed up, right? Four, the saints' living rooms should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ. Amen. Especially through what? Through long lectures on the Word of God? No. Through what? Singing and psalming. Such an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality. Enjoyment. Mutuality requires a great deal of coordination. It does not just happen. All right? Once a freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work is already done. I'll just read the last point, and then RJ can come up. We also need to be connected to the homes of the new ones. The best way to care for the new believers is to set up home meetings where they live. Quick question before RJ shares. How many of us, somewhat regularly, just students, right? Just students, attended a home meeting this past semester? Okay. Now, put your hand up, keep your hand up if outside of that home meeting you had some semi-regular contact with any community saints in that home meeting, outside of the Friday night meeting or whatever meeting itself. Okay, put up your hands if you went to a home meeting again regularly, just students. Now keep your hand up if you had semi-regular contact with a community saint in that home outside of the home meeting. Okay? So maybe about half, all right? So anyway, we want to have Brother RJ share a little testimony.
Hi, my name is RJ Ponder. And going into my senior year at the University of Oklahoma. And I just share a quick testimony of my experience in the homes. I'm a church kid, and I grew up with actually my parents having a home meeting in our house every Friday night. And so my concept of a home was just go there and enjoy and receive and eat food. And so that's kind of how when I went into college, I was like, okay, I want to join myself to a home because that's such an enjoyable place to be. And so I joined a Friday night home meeting in Brother Kim and Sister Deborah Weiss's home. And I just started going there. And for 2 years, my first 2 years in college, every week I would go and I would just receive and enjoy and love to sing and love to eat the food. But then this past year, last summer, I went to the team reunion in Austin. And there was a big burden for the homes, and especially that the students and full-timers, community saints, would be knit together and form a threefold cord. And so I was really burdened that, you know, the homes is where the new ones are gained. And it's hard to bring a new one, like, straight to a prayer meeting or to a table meeting or something. But the homes is so normal for you to bring a friend. And so with Brother Kim, he was also at the team reunion. We had some good fellowship, and we just decided that we wanted to pray for these new ones, especially as, you know, the fall semester is starting soon, and we had some names, some people on our heart that we would just get together, try to once a week, and just pray for these ones. And so that was my experience in the fall. It was really enjoyable, like two or three names, just to pray for them, that they can be in the home meeting, that they can enter into the church life. And so I guess a specific example is that this one brother in particular, who's a freshman from Africa, and he'll be there for 4 years. And so we were praying for this one a lot. And praise the Lord, he's in the homes every week, and he's really in the church life. He went to the winter training last year, and he's doing a summer internship with the campus this year. And so it's just so awesome to see him go on. And then, and because of my time with Brother Kim outside of the home meeting, just being able to pray with him, I got closer to him and was able to open up things just that I was going through. And so he was able to pray for me, and we were able to pray together. And so actually last semester, my experience was, my relationship with him wasn't so much for the new ones, but just kind of just to pray with each other and just build a relationship together. And I was going through a hard time with school, just kind of a lot of being overwhelmed with a lot of the schoolwork. And so it was good to have that time just to be able to pray with him. And sometimes it just kind of felt like a release to just get things off my chest to him, and he can pray for me. And so that was a big help throughout this semester, this past semester. And I'll just say that it's so awesome to be connected to the community saints. I went to one brother once, and I just said I wanted to pray with him or just talk with him. And he was like, so happy. He's like, oh, wow, I'm so impressed that you came to me. That's really awesome. And so it's just like the saints are wanting to connect with the students, and sometimes it's not so easy. Maybe they don't know the right way, but there really isn't any right way. It's just go up to and talk to someone and just say, I want to pray with you. And these saints, especially the ones that open their home, they just have so much burden for the students, and they care so much for us, and they have so much experience. And so I would just encourage everyone to really connect with the older ones in their locality.
Amen. All right. If we had time, I was going to just read you. There's this person named George Mueller, and his testimony of how he got saved was related to a home. But we ran out of time, so maybe we can do that later, find another time. But it's really, really touching story. George Mueller was really, really used by the Lord, but the way he got saved, he was a really, really bad, terrible person. He was in prison, drunk, stealing. He was a robber, but When he got to a home, he got saved. And he ended up becoming very, very useful to the Lord. So the turning point that just totally caught him off guard was the home meeting.